Psalm 107, I want to ask you to notice with me today, beginning at verse 21 and reading through verse 30. Before we read that passage, let me ask you to remember a couple of the things that we've looked at previously in the psalm. The writer of the psalm begins with a word of earnest exhortation as he begins with the expression that says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." The fact that he begins with that word, "Oh," gives us some indication of how passionate the writer is. It's not just men ought to. It's all that they would. We realize the reality of how good God is and how much mercy we have from Him. There ought to be an enthusiasm in our life as we give thanks unto the Lord. His character is the reason for our thankfulness. We're thankful for the fruits that we have, for the harvest that we receive every year. But that's because of His goodness. It's not just because we're good farmers or we got rich soil. It's because God is merciful. All that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His mercy. But in that goodness and in that mercy, we see the next section in the psalm when we realize that God loves us enough that He'll chasten us and correct us when we begin to wander astray. And Israel, when they began to turn their minds from God, He burdened them, He chastened them, He afflicted them. And it was that they, in their affliction early, that they would seek His face. He wouldn't let go of them. He was drawing them back. You see, folks, sometimes we forget to give God thanks for even the burdens that we have in life and for the difficulties we face. There's nothing that comes our way aside from the hand of God. God doesn't cause everything. God doesn't make people sin. God doesn't make bad things happen. But God knows that they are, and He brought our path this way. And if He brought us to it, including His chastening hand, then He will bring us through it. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for the love that He has to us to chasten us, to redeem us, as He said in verse 2, to chasten us. And this morning, I want you to look with me at a set of verses from this psalm that speak to us about the very fact that God is involved in the practical day, a practical daily activities of our life, our jobs, our work, the things that we do and that we go about. Sometimes we think of them, it's the same thing today as it was yesterday. It's not an easy task, but I gotta get up and go to work. We forget sometimes that God, in His goodness and in His mercy, are in the very things that we do every day. Notice with me Psalm 107, beginning at verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Now, you'll notice that there is that same, "Oh, that men would." Remember that word praise translates for the same word that's in the first verse, that is, give thanks. But you'll notice it's for His goodness, but it also is for those things that His works to the children of men. The things that God does that extends to our life. Salvation is certainly one of them. But I want you to notice that He goes on to tell us that it's more than just that. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Notice with me, if you would, beloved, that our thanksgiving is defined in Scripture as being a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Now, the first thing the word sacrifice brings to our minds is that this is something that is given to God. But it also tells me that it's something that costs me something. You remember that when the offerings were made, God told them that they would bring an offering of the first year, an offering of a lamb or of a bullock. It was to be an animal without any faultiness in it. God said, you bring me the best that you have. You bring a first year animal. Well, in his lifetime, he might earn me this and he might accomplish that. But God says, you bring me all that now is and what you expect to come. That's mine. Bring me something that you're going to recognize cost you, because what I give to you cost me. You ever thought about that? Well, it was God's. But what did it cost God? He hath given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, brothers and sisters, the blessings that God gives to us come to us through His sacrifice of His Son. And we ought not to take that lightly and just realize, well, I can say thanks. Do I take my time? Do I take my consciousness? Do I take my effort? Do I take my attendance in the sanctuary? Do I take my an awareness of my helping hands to somebody else using what I have? Do I understand that those are sacrifices of thanksgiving by which we declare the wonderful works of God? Thanksgiving's not just a day that shows up on the calendar once a year. Thanksgiving is a life by which we recognize that our lives belong to God. Bought and redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say that God is good. He bought me and paid for me. Know you not that you're not your own? You've been bought with a price. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. God doesn't ask you to get on an altar and have somebody stick a knife in you. God doesn't ask you to die. God expects us to live because Jesus Christ died for our sins. But we are to present our bodies. We are to make ourselves consciously let go of control and direction, and to understand that God is the one who calls us to be a sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You know, God really doesn't call on us for anything that's unreasonable. If God calls upon us in obedience to follow a path of walk, to withdraw ourselves from some action, to refuse to be a part of some behavior, no matter how common or how accepted it is, it's not that it asks too much of us. It is that it reasonably asks us to sanctify ourselves, because He sanctified us in Jesus Christ. He asks us to be a living sacrifice. And if you go over into the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. Notice with me. I'll begin reading at verse 14. Let's back up verse 13, because it calls on, here's where part of the sacrifice is. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. Jesus was sacrificed on the altar of the cross of Calvary to his Father. He offered himself a sacrifice once for sin. And it was outside the gate of the city of Jerusalem. You see, Jesus was then, he is now outside of the world's acceptance of things. And we're called upon to go outside the camp. We're called upon to go outside what the world looks upon as being within its acceptable bounds. Let us go outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city. Our life really isn't bound up here. We live here now, but it's not going to be a continuing situation. We seek a city that is yet to come. We look forward to a city that is yet to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the, what? Verse 15. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. When? Once a year? Continually. You see, folks, it's the effort of our conscious recognition. It's the effort of doing what he calls us to do. It's the effort of serving him that is a sacrifice of praise. You don't just say, oh, I believe and I'll come sit in the pew 1 hour a week and then go my own way and not pay any attention to it anymore till next Sunday. No, it's to offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is, what is that sacrifice of praise? That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You see, it's a verbal thing. It's an outward thing. It's a thing which the world can hear us and can see us as being different from the world about us. Give the sacrifice of praise. But I want you to go back with me now to Psalm 107. And I want you to notice how he begins in the next verses. What are we giving the sacrifice of praise for? You got a job? You have a work in life? Maybe you're working at home. Maybe you're working in the yard. You realize that God's given you the creation about you, and you want to do the best you can in maintaining and being a steward of what he's given you. Maybe you have a job that you get up and go to 5 days a week. Maybe you're a homemaker. I won't say just a housewife. Maybe you're a wife, a mother. Maybe you got a 24/7 job. If you're a husband, you have a 24/7 job as the husband of your wife. If you're a wife, you have a 24/7 job as the wife to your husband. If you're a child, you have a 24/7, oh, I'm not to my parent. No, but you're to the Lord who put you in that place with your parents, because he gave you to them. Here's his heritage. You see, our lives are not just 8 to 5, 5 days a week. Our lives are 24/7. Now notice how he describes it in verse 23. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters. The sailors that pull out of port and head out to open sea, where they're going along, where they can't even see land. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Now notice what he says. For he, that is God, commandeth and raiseth the stormy winds, which lifteth up the waters thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and staggered like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Now keep in mind, these men who went down to the sea in ships were not on aircraft carriers. They were not on battleships. They were not on cruise line ships. They were on wooden vessels that were not a great deal bigger at times than some of the boats you'll see parked in somebody's driveway today. You see, their vessels were very frail compared to the depth. You get anybody that's ever been out on an aircraft carrier, or that's been out on a battleship, or that's been on a cruise line, when God has raised up a great wind, they'll tell you then that they go up and down, and sometimes they turn green because of it. Very difficult. But did you notice what the psalmist said? That these men who went to sea, and they went about their business. That's what they were there for. They were going to get spices. They were going to bring things back, gold and whatever they were bringing. They were doing a business. They went about their daily lives. And God demonstrated His wondrous work. Well, I don't go to sea. Well, maybe not. But let me tell you something, we're all on open waters, aren't we? We step out in our lives and things open up before us in ways that we hadn't necessarily anticipated. And sometimes the waters get a little rough. I remember watching some old television movies when I was a small child. A lot of them were about the men who were sailors during World War II. And one of the things they would often show was from the deck of a ship what it looked like when the waves would mount up and that ship would rise and its bow would be pointed toward the sky, and then that water would fall, and the next thing you know, that ship's looking like it's going to just plunge right on down into the depths. Waves moving the boat about to the point that men have to hold on when they walk. They were walking like a drunken man because they couldn't walk straight. The boat was being tossed about too much. You see, in our lives, folks, whether we're out on the ocean or whether we're on the waters that open before us in our business in life, we often have those times where the waves would lift us up and then toss us. Problems, difficulties. You understand what he tells us is these men would see the works of the Lord. Do you understand that when we watch this creation, when we watch the experiences that we have, when we feel those moments that we're being tossed about, when we feel that we can't stand still, that we realize that God's still at work. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. How many times have we been at places in our lives when we felt like we were at our wits' end? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. They are glad because they be quiet. So, now listen to this. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. That sailor that leaves one port and heads out on open water understands that safe arrival is because of the hand of the Lord. And He brings him to that place. When we walk in our life, our safe haven is in the hand of the Lord. I remember, think of the old hymn, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest, and I'll sail the wide seas no more. You see, where's our haven of rest? It's in the Lord. When I have trouble, when I'm at my wit's end, I can cry to the Lord, and I know that He's going to bring me to a desired haven. First of all, when I feel like Satan is after me in this life, I understand that God's not going to let me go. Satan says, oh, if you were God's child, God wouldn't let all this be happening to you. The fact of the matter is, Jesus said of His disciples who were definitely God's children, He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. He didn't say you might have a bump or two. Ye shall have tribulation. He told Peter, there'll be a time that'll come in your life when somebody's going to bind you up and lead you to die. Peter turned and looked at John and said, but what about him? And Jesus said, don't worry about him. You do what I tell you to do. You see, we have tribulation. Sometimes it's because of our own poor choices. Sometimes it may be because of our sinful behavior. Sometimes it may be because of lack of wisdom and understanding. Sometimes it may just be because the devil's after us and trying to intimidate us and turn us away from a walk of faithfulness. But when we find ourselves at our wits' end, what do we do? Then they cried unto the Lord. You remember Jonah? He was on a ship that was in a horrendous storm. And he finally admitted that he was the one that was running away. Throw me overboard. We'll find another way. No. The only way you have is to throw me overboard. God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the whale. And you know what he cried? He cried out to the Lord. Salvation. My hope, my deliverance is of the Lord. Out of the belly of hell, he cried. You see, folks, when we find ourselves to be in the belly of the whale, when we find ourselves to be in the struggles of our work, when our requirements are such that we don't understand all that there is, when we're going about our daily lives, we're going about our business, whether it's an 8-to-5 job, whether it's as a laborer for somebody else, or whether it's a manager or as an owner of a business or a keeper of a home. When we go about our business, there's one who knows when the waves are going to go up and when the waves are going to go down, but He maketh the storm to be a calm. He handles the storm. And where's our hope? You remember in Acts chapter 27, Paul was a prisoner on a ship. Paul was being carried to Rome to stand trial before Caesar. And this storm went on for many days. They'd already thrown all the cargo out. They'd thrown all the food out. They'd just given up. They'd lost all hope. Paul spoke and he said, brethren, you ought to have listened to me. I tried to tell you not to leave when you did, but you did. It's all your fault. What did Paul go on to say? But God, whose I am and whom I serve, has stood by me tonight, has spoken to me. God, you see, Paul understood our relationship to God in the middle of the storm. I belong to Him. I've been bought in the blood of Jesus, whose I am and whom I serve. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You ought to take that verses 22 through 24 of Acts chapter 27, and out of that one phrase, make you a big old banner and hang it up in your bedroom where you'll see it when you get up in the morning. God, whose I am and whom I serve, hath told me we're going to be all right. Now, I'm cutting it short, and I'm paraphrasing it, but that's basically what he told Paul. Not one life is going to be lost. The ship's going to get wrecked, but every one of you is going to wind up where? On ground. He brought them to their haven. They stayed there till the next year, till the next sailing season. You see, folks, our hope in life is that God's the one that controls the waves. God's the one that controls the wind. Jesus stood on a boat in front of a bunch of disciples who couldn't figure out why he was just sleeping while this storm was going on. Don't you care that we're about to die? And he stood, and he didn't say much to them. He didn't argue with them. You see, God's argument is not with us. It's with the control of his creation. And he stood on the deck of that boat, and he spoke to the winds and the waves, and he said, "Peace, be still." And I'm going to tell you, he didn't have to holler. He didn't have to shout. But his voice went over the storm. I don't know what storm's going on in your life right now, but I'm going to tell you something, folks. My great encouragement to you today, that for which you have reason to praise the Lord, is that in your business, in your household, in your family, in everything that you do, in all of those ups and downs, the voice of Jesus Christ still brings the storm to a calm and brings you to the desired destination. He has ultimately said, "He that hath begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ." Oh, that men would praise the Lord. We're busy, but do you take time out of your busy schedule to thank God for being with you in the storms? Do you take time in His Word to use the very words that He's given you in the Scripture to praise Him? If these were words that were satisfactory to Him when David wrote them and when others wrote those words of Scripture as the Holy Spirit moved them, if they pleased God to have them written, doesn't it please God to hear them from our mouths? Oh, that men would praise the Lord. It's a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Do we stop as we go to work in the morning? I've watched people, especially in the years that I worked in the grocery business, I've watched people take a smoke break. I've watched people take a snack break. I've watched people take a phone break. How many of us take a thanks break? A moment to stop in the middle of the storm that's going on around us and thank God that He's still the one who controls those waves. He controls your circumstance. When you get to the end, your wit's end, when you get in the middle where you're getting tossed about like a drunk man who can't walk straight, don't fuss at the waves. Cry to the Lord. Don't fuss at the circumstance. Cry to the one in the charge of the circumstance. Don't fuss at other people. Cry to God. Because He will bring you to your desired haven. Isaiah writes that there's a time when the waves would break in on us. But let me just turn to that passage and read it. I'll use this as the close today. In Psalms 59, Psalm 59, verse 19. "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun." From where it comes up to where it goes down, God will have men who fear Him throughout this whole world. "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him," against the enemy. Who is the standard? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's our banner. When you think you're about to be overflooded, you have a standard that is lifted. When you think you're about to be overwhelmed, you have a power that is given to you. I'm about to die. Okay? Even if we draw our last breath in this world, we're not defeated. But we have a city that we look forward to that will be a continuing city. And I can thank God with the last breath I draw that He's prepared a place in Jesus Christ. You see, folks, we are the ones who go down to the sea in ships. Here's our ship. And we go out on the open waters of life. We have the same God who calmed their storm, who handles our storm today. When we realize that, we see the enthusiasm with which the writer of the psalm says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men." All of His works are not peaches and cream and roses. A lot of His works are in the storms, the waves, and the tossing about. But in those things, He's the same good and merciful God. May we give the sacrifice of praise. Take the time, make the effort, be conscious because of who He is. Father in heaven, help us as Your children, weak and frail though we are. By our flesh, we come short. We've sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet in Your mercy, You've washed us in the washing of regeneration. You've called us with a call to repentance. You've given us a hope of life eternal. Father, when we look at Your goodness and Your mercy, how You handle our lives day by day, may we day by day be just as enthusiastic to give You the praise as we are to enjoy the bounty of Your hand. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.